I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Absolutely, we're reporting for duty. Jesse, I'm fired up. I'm sitting down because I have to. But right now, I'm so fired up because of yesterday's show. I got so many people saying, Terry, what's going on? You guys, you've met a doctor in Dallas, and he has 100% batting rate for people to survive the COVID-19. Why isn't the world knowing about this? Why? Well, we're going to make it as possible as we're going to tell everybody in the world that this is happening. And I'll tell you why, Jess, before we talk about today's show.
Yep.
13 nuns in a convent outside of Detroit died with COVID-19. Hundreds of people die every day. And here we have the solution to the problem. And I got to say, I'm going to hold somebody responsible for this. Of the 21% unemployment, that's got all kinds of collateral damage where people can't support their families. People are in lines to get food. We got all kinds of issues in our culture right now where people can't, you have to wear masks to get to work. So they're closing cities down, all this. Well, can I tell you, Jess, I'm going to hold the Democratic Party to be responsible for this be happening because they're the ones who are hiding the solution to the COVID-19. They don't want a solution. They want to continue this because they don't want a good economy. President Trump was slam dunk 4 months ago when the economy was booming. They had to come up with something. And I'm going to say this. It's just
greatest economy in 60 years.
Yes, it's too coincidental that this happened. There's definitely, and we're going to talk about that in today's show, but I just want to say that it upsets me. And if people want to know the solution, listen to yesterday's show. We had a great doctor interview. But just today, we
can. Let me back up something that you just said right there. Ahead, I'm looking at a meme. Somebody sent me this, I think it was Father Dave Nix.
Yeah.
It's got the COVID virus talking to another COVID virus. It says, we did it.
Yep.
We flattened the curve. Here's what it says.
Yeah.
Suicide all over the U.S.
Yep.
Rights infringed all over the U.S.
Yep.
Economic collapse all over the U.S.
Check.
Spike in domestic violence all over the U.S.
Yep.
Mass unemployment all over the U.S. Higher rate of substance abuse and alcohol all over the U.S.
True.
Small business is destroyed all over the U.S. Yep. We did it. That's one COVID virus saying it to another.
Yeah.
It's a cute little meme.
Well, it's true, Jesse. Well, today's show, we're going to be covering Turkey, the country of Turkey, reconverts Istanbul's Sophia Museum into what? A mosque. And we'll tell you the history behind that. Sad. Really is sad. Also, Jess, George Soros attacks the church. I really mean...
most dangerous man in the world.
He really is. After 30 years, he's been opposing the church teachings with massive fortunes, but with this latest move, he's openly declaring war on the Catholic Church. We're going to cover what he's doing on that. Also, again, have hope at St. Joseph. We're going to be talking about why consecration to St. Joseph, Father Don Calloway's book, is so important, and how St. Joseph is the hope of the sick. And we're going to show a couple doctors of the church how they had devotion to St. Joseph later in the show that will really give you inspiration. But Jess, the bottom line today is this. We got lots to share, but you know what the greatest thing we can share is the gospel, okay? And Jess is going to read for today's gospel. It's short but powerful from the gospel of Matthew.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, very short and pithy.
Yep.
It says, while Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside, wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you. But he said in reply to the one who told him, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, Jesus Christ, is what he's doing here, our Lord, he's amplifying or he's making Jesus came from the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary. That's the Holy Family.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is essentially saying, you want to be part of the Holy Family? Do the will of my Father. And guess what? You will be brought into my family. So he's not denying any relationships with Joseph or Mary. What he's doing, he's basically amplifying the relationships. He's saying, if you do the will of my Father, which in other words, first Catholics means, if you live in a state of grace, guess what? You're part of my family. And I'll tell you also something very powerful about what happens here. Think about this. Who does the will of the Father most perfectly? The Blessed Virgin Mary. Just read her Magnificat. If there's somebody who does the will of the Father perfectly, it's the Blessed Virgin Mary. So our Lord, he's not undermining the role of Our Lady. He's basically revealing her true greatness, that her greatness of her divine maternity is that what? She embraced the Father's will, as she says in Luke 1:38 and Luke 1:43. She says, may it be done to me according to thy word. And so her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, both physical and spiritual, it's magnified by Jesus' actual statement, because Our Lady was not only chosen by God to be the mother of the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, but she also fulfills the will of God perfectly. So she's mother to Jesus, not only physically, but even spiritually in a more perfect way.
Jesse, I'd also like to answer the question. People say, doesn't the Bible in Matthew teach that Jesus had brothers? No! Jesus was Mary's only child. When the Bible refers to Jesus' brothers, it is referring to other relatives, probably his cousins. Now, some examples from Scripture offer support to this position. Check your Bible on Genesis 14:14. And when Adam heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, referring to Lot as Abraham's brother. But we know he is Abraham's nephew from Genesis 11:27. Lot was actually the son of Abraham's brother, Haran. Another quote, Matthew 27:56. Among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee, showing that some of those identified as Jesus' brothers in Matthew 13:55 and 56 were not his actual brothers, but most likely his cousins. Jesse, it says here, we know that in Hebrew, there's no Hebrew or Aramaic word for cousins or nephew. The term brother was commonly used. Today, some biblical translations will more appropriately use the term kinsman to identify a family relationship. It goes on, but I just want to make that clear, Jess.
Very, in one sentence, Terry, in the Jewish culture, the word brother, it was used to identify a wide range of relationships, cousin,
absolutely,
uncle, nephew, fellow tribal, best friend, kinsman, fellow countryman. It was used in a wide semantic range in the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
That language didn't have word for cousins or uncles, so everybody was called in the Hebrew culture brother.
And Jesse, in addition to that, if Mary had other children, it would not have been appropriate for Jesus to assign her into the care of the Apostle John. When John saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." This is John 19:26. In the Jewish culture, the alleged other children or brothers would have been responsible for taking care of their mother. Common sense, Jess.
Natural law tells us that if somebody dies in the family, the next of kin takes care of the family member the parents, next of kin.
Absolutely.
That's natural law.
Yep.
And that's and the fact of the matter is, if Christ would have had other brothers or sisters, natural law would have dictated that they go into the care. Mary would have went into the care of his other blood siblings, but there was none there, and that's why he entrusted him to John the Apostle.
Well said. Yep. Let's bring Bishop Sheen in. Actually, Bishop Sheen's going full steam ahead. Bishop Sheen's going to speak for himself here. Here comes.
Okay.
Mr. Engineer's getting it. We got an actual quote from Fulton Sheen here.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Our nation is too full of those that are crying down. Down with the police. Down with the churches, down with teachers, down with government. Can you build anything down? You cannot. Certainly time in our nation to change our words, And let's begin now to use the word up. Up from all of this filth. Up from this violence. Up from this indifference of courts. Up, up to the hid battlements of eternity. Up, up to God. The new type of violence that's sweeping our country, our schools, our streets, which involves destruction of everything that is in the past. The first characteristic of the new violence of our day is what we will call elitism. Namely, there is a dominant minority that makes a lot of noise and that uses violence to force its will upon others. They're revolutionists without a program. They only know what they're against. They do not know what they're for. The kind that will rifle desks, destroy property, burn homes, do anything to enforce their will. Satanism is behind it too. This is the third characteristic of it. The world is built on order. There's a plan. So scientists are able to discover the laws of the universe. And in discovering the laws of the universe, men find harmony. This harmony and order had to come from somewhere. It came from God. What is the essence of Satanism? The essence of Satanism is the destruction of that order.
Wow.
The order of law.
I'm going to ask Mr. Engineer to hold it for a minute. Jess, this guy's nailing it, man. We're going to play it on the way back, and then we'll continue. But Bishop Sheen, please pray for us. You're a prophet in our own time.
Yes.
We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. What is our point? Let's get to heaven. That's what Sheen's talking about. We'll be right back. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, the most important thing, don't be so concerned about the B-A-M-A-Ph-D behind your name.
Worry about the ST
Amen.
Before your name. That's what's going to get you to heaven, Terry.
Yeah, see, we were playing a clip from Fulton Sheen, and he got interrupted by our break. But I want people to understand, this man said this 50 years ago, Jesse. It was in the late 60s. He was in his 70s. Listen to the passion in his voice, Jesse, talking about his love for our Lord. Let's play that clip again. Continue.
Order of religion, the order of ethics, anything that you please. Believe me, fellow Americans, I tell you that before the flood, in the book of Genesis we read, and in the days of Noah, there was violence on the earth. All of the violence that happens in our country is a fever graph. Read it. And it points to a decay in our civilization.
Yep.
How are we going to get out of it? I tell you one thing that we have to do. We have to realize maybe why the eagle is our national symbol. The eagle always builds its nest high in the mountain crevices. When the young are hatched, the eagle pushes its young over the nest. And they fly down to what to eaglet eyes must seem like sudden death. And just before the young eagle crashes, the mother eagle swoops down from its nest, down to the abyss, and catches the young, and then flies up into the sky, swoops from out it again, and repeats the process until the bird has learned to fly. Moses saw that, and he wrote, as the eagle stirs among the young, so does God stir among the nations. Maybe God is stirring us, bringing us to the brink of danger, in order that we might begin to examine ourselves and restore the dignity of man and a belief in God.
Wow. Jesse, when I heard that, I just said, this man, it acts like he's alive right now, 2020. And what a great advice he's giving us, Jess. I just had to share that from Fulton Sheen.
Terry, he says something very important about the God is the God of order.
Yeah.
Everything that has order mm-hmm. comes from God.
Yeah.
And that's what we see, for example, the book of Genesis 1 and 2. Out of chaos, God brings perfect order and harmony.
Yep.
out of this formlessness and emptiness that was in space.
Yes.
So God, he brings order out of chaos into the cosmos. And what we're seeing right now, Terry, and by the way, disorder is one of the signs of the diabolical.
That's what he just said. Yes.
And that's exactly what we see right now with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, other groups in times past, Occupy Wall Street. We see them bringing disorder into the society and anarchy. Anarchy is the opposite of patriarchy. Patriarchy means rightful order under God the Father, under a father, under father figures. And anarchy means disorder or without order. So, wow, it was just a breath of fresh air to hear a bishop like him speaking with such moral clarity and force.
Absolutely, Jesse. So let's move on to our next topic,
yes.
which is Turkey reconverts the Istanbul Sophia Museum into a mosque. Just let's get the historical perspective on all this.
1,500-year-old monument
that's
been revered by Catholic, Christians, Orthodox, and Muslims alike.
Yes.
The Hagia Sophia in Istanbul. Well, it's now been turned back into a mosque. Turkey's president, Erdogan, I won't say his whole name, it's too long. President Erdogan, he's declared that Istanbul's Hagia Sophia Museum to now reopen to Muslim worship after their Supreme Court, basically in Turkey, governed by nothing but Muslims. They ruled that the building's conversion to a museum by modern Turkey's founding statesmen was illegal. So President Erdogan made the announcement on Friday after their Supreme Court rule was revealed, despite international warnings not to change the status from a museum to a mosque, of the nearly 1,500-year-old monument revered by Christians and Muslims alike. And the decision was taken to hand over the management of the mosque to the Religious Affairs Directorate and open it for the worship for Muslims. And this was signed by the Turkish president, Erdogan, who had previously proposed restoring the mosque status. So he's already been moving in that direction. He's been proposing to restore the mosque status of the UNESCO World Heritage Site. That's what it was called, which was a focal point of both the Christian Byzantine and the Muslim Ottoman empires. And it was one of the most visited monuments in Turkey. Well, earlier, again, their Supreme Court in Turkey revoked the Byzantine-era Hagia Sophia status as a museum, and the Council of State, which was debating a case brought by a Turkish religious organization, canceled a 1934 cabinet decision that defined the 6th-century building as a museum. It was concluded that the settlement deed allocated it as a mosque, and its use outside this character is not possibly legal. That was by their Supreme Court. And Erdogan, he shared on his Twitter feed a copy of the decree that was signed by their Supreme Court that the decision had been taken to hand control of the mosque, as it's known in Turkey, Ayasofya, so the country's religious directorate, and reopen it for worship. Here's my commentary. I'm surprised that the Turkish president didn't do this earlier, you know, any Turkish president, because Islam has a law that says if a building was once a mosque, then it will always be a mosque, even if they lose it in battle. So Islam says we always have to regain those things that we've lost and convert them back to mosques. So this move by Turkey's president and the high court, this is simply following Islamic law. And that's why, you know, I've said it over and over again, Islamic law and Islam can never, never, never be trusted. And again, Terry, they see that we're weak right now.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, Jesse.
Yeah, I believe that this move by the Turkish president and their Supreme Court was probably motivated to reclaim the mosque back, because they know that Pope Francis, he's soft on Islam. I'm making an objective statement, not a criticism. Mm-hmm. I'm making an observation. He's soft on Islam, and he's not going to get any pushback from the Vatican. I mean, when you look at the Vatican documents on religious liberty, that's been, should we say, it's given many people heartburn. And that's basically this spirit of Vatican II taking those documents and just basically almost making all religions equal and the same. And so it doesn't surprise me that they made the move right now.
Jesse, I just want to mention that this was a 16-year battle, okay, over this property. And the interesting thing about it, Jess, when the Muslims took over and captured the city in 1453 and turned an already, check this out, 900-year-old Christian Byzantine church into a mosque. I just want to give the perspective. That was a Christian church for 900 years, and now the Muslims are taking it back. But I would just say this. I think it goes way before Pope Francis, myself. I really mean this, because we have been having a dialogue with the Muslims for decades. And you know what, Jesse? It's gotten us nowhere, in my humble opinion. What I mean by that is I remember back in 2002 when we had the, you know, September 11th attack. And I remember Dr. Hahn on our radio show saying, you know, I'm quoting the Muslims, dialogue is for one reason, to get it our way. And so there's never going to dialogue to have a dialogue. For example, the UNESCO, which is the World Heritage Committee, they're very naive. And I think even us in the church are naive. They said that it's regrettable that Turkey's decision was not the subject of a dialogue nor notification beforehand. In other words, are you kidding me? You're dealing with Islam. There's no dialogue. They do what they want to do when they want to do it. But I would agree, Jesse, the timing is perfect for them, because there's no pushback.
And I'll tell you why there's no dialogue with Islam.
Tell me.
People saying, come on, guys, tell me.
It's the truth.
Because Islam, in the 10th century, they decided, their theologians, they gathered together in their own council, and they rejected reason. They said reason, basically, like Luther's the whore, the devil's whore, reason, that we don't appeal to reason. So in the 10th century, Islam officially, their legal scholars said, we are Quran alone. Just like Protestants are Bible alone, and everything has to come from the Bible, according to Protestants, the Muslims have the same worldview. Their view is what forms our mind? The Quran alone. And so the Quran, again, it's just peppered with reference to non-Muslims as infidels, that believing in any God other than the God of Islam, you know, believing in the Trinity, that's the law, the sin of shirk, which is for them, it's the worst mortal sin. That's what the sin of shirk is. And they also believe that we teach a false path to salvation. And so that's why you can't reason with Muslims, Terry, because they will say, don't give me reason. Show me what you're trying to claim. Show me in the Quran. Prove it from the Quran. Well, again, the Quran is a book put out by a false prophet, Muhammad. And so as Catholics, it has no canonical status with us. I mean, the Quran has 164 violent verses in the Quran ordering Muslims to kill infidels. That's you and I. And so, Terry, that's the problem. That's why there's no dialogue with Islam.
Well, let me just say it real clearly. The article doesn't say it this bluntly, but you know what, Jess? I don't like to beat around the bush. The Muslims stole that church in 1453, okay? And now they're stealing it back again for the Muslims. That's all. I just wanted to say that. That's how I see it. All right. Hey, and, Jess, go ahead.
And, Terry, and the fact is, when you look at Islam, every single country and church that's in the Middle East, it was once under Catholic auspices, under Catholic control.
Got it.
And essentially, everything that they have now has been done through war. All the countries, all the churches that they've conquered in the Middle East, they've conquered through war because they believe in what's called jihad, which jihad essentially teaches them. It's one of the non-written pillars of Islam that teaches them that they have this manifest destiny to promote Islam throughout the entire world.
Well said. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about George Soros' attack on the church. But I want to just make a quick announcement, and that is I want to thank all of the folks who have been helping us here at Virgin Most Powerful. You see that beautiful church behind me on that green screen? That's the church where we worship here on weekends, and we have Mass here also. And we are in the middle of painting the church, the outside of the paint. Outside of the church, and we've already raised $9,000 of the $12,000 to paint our church. If you'd like to help us on that for the other $3,000, give us a call at 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. When we come back, George Soros, his attack on the Catholic Church. Why are we exposing this? Because this man's doing a lot of damage to a lot of churches with all of his money he has. We'll be back more to tell you how that's all working out.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Evil is the absence of good.
Amen.
And I believe that George Soros is the most evil man in the world.
Yep.
He's the most wicked man in the world. Why do I say that? The word wicked in the Bible in Romans chapter 1 tells us somebody who suppresses the truth. The definition of wicked is someone who suppresses the truth of Christ. That's George Soros. He's a notorious billionaire, and he's dumping almost $250 million into groups pushing Marxism and black racial superiority, ultimately to attack the Catholic Church like we're seeing right now.
That's right.
And a couple of days ago, this hedge fund billionaire and atheist,
yes,
George Soros, he announced, get this, a new $220 million investment to build power in black communities and new anti-racist policies in the U.S., okay? The whole Black Lives Matter is just a front. It's socialism being imported into America, and he's funding it. Racial violence has gripped major cities around the United States since May with Black Lives Matter, an openly Marxist organization promoting, not racial issues, promoting homosexuality, transgenderism, and the destruction of the Western nuclear family at the forefront of the violence. And since 2015, Soros has supported the newborn organization with a leaked memo approving, get this, $650,000 in opportunities fund to support to invest in technical assistance and support for the groups at the core of this burgeoning movement, Black Lives Matter. And how does he do this? He sets up these other nonprofits. The one that he generally uses is called the Open Society Foundations, this philanthropic organization. And the Open Society has a $261.1 million budget for leftist efforts in the U.S. For 2020.
Wow.
That's more than 20% of its global budget. Terry?
And Jesse, let me just mention something. When you talk about the organization of Black Lives, you're not just saying this from this article. This is right on their website.
Yes.
Where they talk about Western nuclear family and the transgenderism and homosexuality. So don't trust Jesse or me. Go to their website. I know that Bishop...
Yeah, we've already done that.
Yeah, we've done that. Joseph Strickland on our new show, he pointed out that.
They're not hiding what they're
right
about.
No. And you know, Jesse, he also has doubled. Okay, we talked about the election. Do you remember the 2016 election, everybody? He was giving money, guess who? To Democratic Political Action Committee.
George Soros.
George Soros, from $20 million in 2016. Are you ready? Now $40 million in 2020, all in an effort to throw off, guess what, the re-election of Donald Trump. George Soros will do anything to stop Trump from getting reelected. And I believe, Jesse, this article doesn't say it, but I guarantee you he's funding the efforts to support COVID-19's efforts to scare people. He's encouraging all of that. That's another tactic that he's using. But, Jesse, by now the BLM and other leftist organizations are turning their area towards the Catholics with destructions of statues, right? That's why we're, Anipero Serra. You know what, Jesse? I'll say it right on the phone. August 22nd, your brother sent it to me, Johnny Romero. We're going to be there at the mission up by Salvang at 5 o'clock because they're going to be there protesting Anipero Serra's statue. And we're going to be up there praying our rosary, hundreds of us, I hope. That'll be on the Queenship of Mary, August 22nd, because we have to stop this. We have to use our reason. Now, Jesse, This is not the first time George Soros has funded anti-Catholic movements. Are you ready for this? And we said this years ago. In 2016, he helped fund the effort to legalize abortion in Catholic Ireland. We said that. I remember talking about that before. So this is a man who's openly attacking the Catholic Church.
That's right. And we're just like a lighthouse here in the Terry and Jesse Show.
Yep.
We're just like a lighthouse trying to navigate people that are trying to, you know, dock their ships because people are, that's exactly what Virgin Most Powerful is. We're a lighthouse trying to give people moral clarity. And Terry, there's a couple of other things that George Soros that we know that he's trying to change
Europe,
also
Poland.
The face of Europe.
Yeah,
he's going after Poland.
He does.
Because he knows Poland is a very strong Catholic country.
Yep.
And so there's a leaked memo from his Open Societies Foundation that's revealing his effort to impact other strongly Catholic countries in Europe, such as Poland, and provide much-needed proof that change is possible even in highly conservative places. And for 30 years, Soros has been opposing church teaching with his massive fortunes, but with his latest move, he's openly declaring war on the Catholic Church.
And Jesse, let me just jump in to say something about this, Mr. George Soros. It sounds like we're beating up on him. You know what, Jesse? I would love to see that man have a metanoia today, okay? So I want to encourage everybody right now, let's pray for that man's conversion. Could you imagine that if he was converted to Jesus Christ, he could spend the rest of his life with his resources proclaiming the good news of Jesus? Let's pray. Father, Son,
absolutely.
Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary. That never was it known that anyone who fled to that protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petition, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. Amen. We pray for the conversion of George Soros. Yes, we do it right here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
You pray this in the name of the Father, Son,
Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, Jesse.
Yeah, there's also...
Man's evil.
Yeah, the man, again, the definition of evil is absence of good.
Yeah.
And the definition of wicked is one who suppresses the truth. He's been suppressing the truth above Jesus Christ for decades. Let me tell you some other things that he has his hands on.
Go ahead.
In case some people are wondering, well, okay, you know, what else is this man doing that you guys are making these statements that he's wicked and he's evil?
Yeah.
Well, get this. George Soros, the Soros-funded group says that the COVID-19 crisis is the perfect time to abolish the family.
Yep.
So that's one of his groups that he's funding. They're saying right now through the COVID crisis, hey, let's abolish the nuclear family. Also, most people don't realize, LifeSite News put this one out, that George Soros paid $650,000 to influence the U.S. bishops during Pope Francis's U.S. visit a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Here's another one from LifeSite News. Pro-abort billionaire George Soros gave nearly $90 million to feminist anti-Trump protest marches throughout the nation, throughout the streets. Mm. Here's another one. LifeSite News. Pro-abortion billionaire George Soros spends millions of dollars to defeat Brett Kavanaugh. But he failed, but he came close.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Remember the caravans that were coming from South America, Central America, and Mexico?
Yep.
Okay, here's a patriotnewsalert.com. George Soros was funding the caravans from South America and Mexico into the U.S.
Wow.
Does that surprise you?
No.
Here's another one. George Soros has been found funding Antifa and the Black Lives Matter. Okay. Who are burning America, basically, and because George Soros he yearns to change America, and the fires that have been started, they've been fueled by his money, Terry. That
That's
he's
right.
funding these two terrorist groups in our streets.
Yep.
And remember, years ago there was another terrorist organization. They're called Occupy Wall Street. Guess who was funding Occupy Wall Street? I'm looking at humanevents.com.
Follow the money.
Radical anti-American billionaire George Soros is a major backer of a left-wing group that is funneling money to the Occupy Wall Street movement, the nonprofit organization at the receiving end of Soros' money. He's also the one that funds Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
He's a huge benefactor of Planned Parenthood. He's also was the money behind medical marijuana and recreational marijuana.
That's right.
State by state. Yep. And essentially, he's basically won that war because I think like 16 states right now have legalized it. And if Biden wins, it's going to be probably federally legalized through all 50 states. George Soros is also one of the top guys that funds what's called population control. Population, that's birth control, especially to third world countries. And Terry, the fact is that anything evil on a wide scale, you find the fingerprints of George Soros somewhere involved.
And that's why I say, Jesse, can you imagine if this man was converted to Jesus Christ?
Oh, wow.
The beauty that could happen from that. And I really say that we should be praying. You know, I want to give everybody an action item to do right now. Would everybody please pray a Hail Mary every day for his conversion? Everyone who's listening, can you imagine we storm heaven for the graces for that man to convert back? Jesse, what's his background? I know he's a Slavic. Do you think he's baptized, Jess, when he was a baby?
You know what? He was born and raised a Jew.
Okay.
And yeah, so
he was never baptized. Okay.
No, he's never been.
He's an atheist today.
Yeah, he's a non-practicing Jew, which basically, you know, makes it very dangerous. Terry, I hate this, and this is a fact, and this is why Dr. E. Michael Jones has gotten in a lot of trouble with the establishment Catholic media. Mm-hmm. That's why nobody has him on, because he's another guy that's very, he tells the truth. Dr. Michael E. Michael Jones, he's essentially wrote a book and shows that some of the most evil persons throughout the world right now are secular Jews.
That's true. That's a fact.
And he names them in his book.
Yes,
and
Terry, that book. Of course.
Yeah, I want to bring him on. In fact, I want to reconnect with him and do a whole show on it because, and that's what George Soros is. He's a multi-billionaire atheist Jew. Mm-hmm. And you know, same with most of the producers and directors in Hollywood. When you look at some of the big players, you'll see that's exactly who they are. And it makes sense because remember, Christ came to his own and his own received him not. And so today, that spirit that of Antichrist, the spirit of the anti-Messiah, it still reigns with a lot of secular, very wealthy Jews that still have this anti-Messiah, anti-Christ spirit. And now it extends to the Church of Jesus Christ, which is the Catholic Church. But yeah, George Soros was born in Hungary, and he came from a non-practicing family. They were called the Schwartz. And his family changed the name from Schwartz. They didn't want to be associated with their Jewish roots.
Wow.
And they changed it to Soros. And the Soros family, they also facilitated, or they assimilated into the Gentile community over in Hungary during the Second World War.
Up next, St. Joseph, Hope of the Sick. Pray for us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We're going to do an exposé on that.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to his church, to aid and defend her.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
St. Lawrence of Brindisi, pray for us. Amen. I should mention he's a saint of the day. St. Lawrence was born in 1559 in Brindisi, Italy, and he joined the Capuchins. He became a masterful scholar of Scripture, and to his first Capuchin superior, who wanted to impress upon him the severity of the religious life, he told St. Lawrence, "Father, there will be nothing difficult here, provided we have a crucifix." And so after reaching throughout Europe, St. Lawrence of Brindisi was made the chaplain of the Imperial Army under Rudolf II. Well, this was during a war that Islam initiated at Stolweisenberg near Budapest. St. Lawrence of Brindisi rode into battle with other crusaders, and the only thing that he had with him, he didn't have a sword or a spear or a scimitar, the only thing that he carried to war was a crucifix. And on the final day of the battle, St. Lawrence, he wore out 5 horses carrying the crucifix and praying from one post to another. And the Ottoman forces, that's the Muslim Turkish forces, they were defeated eventually. And St. Lawrence died in 1619. St. Lawrence of Brindisi, pray for us.
Yeah, see, one more added note about St. Lawrence that I heard from Father Steve, your former pastor, this morning. He said that St. Lawrence was part of the counter-reformation for the Catholic Church. He went in and reconverted all those people who left the church at the Reformation. So he was like on fire for the faith. Not only did he reconvert a lot of Christians, then he went in to preach to the Muslims. This man was on fire. So, yeah, you're right. St. Lawrence of Brindisi, please pray for us, especially, Jesse, we need a saint like that right now.
Oh, yeah. Terry, one of the saints for all seasons is St. Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
And one of our friends, Father Dallin Calloway, wrote a book. It's called Consecration to St. Joseph.
He did.
And St. Joseph, he's also the hope of the sick.
Yep.
And there's, for anybody in our family that's sick, St. Joseph, pray for them and pray for us as well. And so, yeah, this book, Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father by Father Calloway, it's again, as he's fond of doing, very well documented. He covers a lot of miraculous healings.
Yes, of St. Teresa, the little flower.
Yeah, St. Teresa and the St. Teresa of Avila.
Exactly.
These doctors of the church, they give witness of the healing intercession of St. Joseph. That speaks volumes right now,
exactly.
Especially during the time of this. I'll go back. This Wuhan
virus. Yeah, there you go. Go back
virus.
To China. It's where it came from.
Yeah, it did. So we should discover that one of St. Joseph's greatest attributes is his powerful intercession to heal the sick, as St. Andre Bessette and many saints have discovered. And there's another older book called St. Joseph, A Man for All Seasons by Father Alphonse Maria Weigel. It contains many healing miracles of St. Joseph interceding for the sick at the last minute. And so we're going to share a few of the miracles in the remaining minutes that we have, so we can encounter St. Joseph's powerful healing and intercession. And again, so there's also illustrations on the article that we have here.
Absolutely.
If you want to see some of these beautiful illustrations of St. Joseph put together from this book, A Man for All Seasons. Gary, what about the first miracle?
I'm going to give you that first one, but I'm going to recommend also, if anybody is here in North America listening, to go to St. Joseph's Oratory in Montreal, where Brother Andre, St. Andre Bessette, actually helped build. And I would recommend, because you'll see all kinds of good things on St. Joseph. But this miracle one, we call it, there was a woman who had been living by herself and was unable to eat and drink for many days. This would happen once a month, if not twice, and sometimes she needed intravenous feeding. Feeling desperate, in March of 1994, this is recent, she started a novena to St. Joseph. And at the end of the novena, on March 19th, which is the feast of St. Joseph, she received a miraculous healing, allowing her to live a normal life. Praise God, and thank you, St. Joseph.
Miracle number two. A man finds his wife in the arms of another man, and he shoots her and then shoots himself. This couple were practicing Catholics with children. The wife was only wounded and survived, but the man went into a coma with little hope of surviving, according to the doctors. The children prayed a novena to St. Joseph, and on the eighth day, the man in the coma opened his eyes and asked for a priest to hear his confession. On the ninth day, March 19th, this man received Holy Communion, and his wife repented, plus the husband went on to fully recover.
Wow.
St. Joseph not only healed the husband, but he also healed the marriage.
I love it. Miracle number three. And you know, there's hundreds of these stories with the intercession of St. Joseph. Here you go. A 71-year-old man develops pain in his knees. Probably osteoporosis. But when walking, climbing stairs, he suffered for 4 years trying medicines, dressings, and radiation therapy. He runs into a booklet where St. Teresa of the Little Flower says, "Bring your problems to St. Joseph. He will help you. Just try it." So I said, okay. He begins a novena to St. Joseph, and on the ninth day, he's completely healed after 4 years of painful suffering. Jesse, one after another, St. Joseph, pray for us.
Miracle number four. A woman worked for the United Airlines and was transferred to Houston, Texas
yep.
in 1983. She had problems adjusting to the change and other wellness issues, so she retired, and she moved back to Pennsylvania, where a friend lent her a place to stay until she found an apartment. During all this time, she was praying to St. Joseph when he suddenly appeared to her and said, "I am going to do something for you." On that day, she found the strength to leave her bed, find a job, and an apartment. St. Joseph, pray for us.
And you know, Jesse, finally, many people continue to share with me that, you know, consecration to St. Joseph, is Father Calloway's book, it changed people's lives. If you're a man, it shows you what a real man can act like. If you are a woman, it shows you what to look for in a husband and father. The entire countries like Poland, they're consecrating themselves to St. Joseph because he's so important during these times. And I'm going to recommend that people go to Father Don Calloway's website, get the book, and try. And you will be very, very surprised after you're done reading that book and consecrating your family, yourself, to St. Joseph. And I will only leave one more thought. St. Joseph's the largest church in North America is in Montreal, the St. Joseph's Oratory. We've been there many times with my wife and family. We love it. I would recommend to have that. Now, Brother Andre died in 1930, Jesse. 1 million people were at his funeral. Last time I looked at, Jesse, when I die, I might have a handful of people. You too. Not a million people. Why were a million people there? Because I read the book. All those people were people who had been blessed by this oil from St. Joseph, from Brother Andre, that had miracles in their lives, and they were coming back to thank him at the funeral mass. And, you know, that's how many miracles took place through St. Joseph. I really believe that we need to have more devotion to St. Joseph. As you know, Jesse, I started St. Joseph Communications, St. Joseph Books and Tapes. I've used St. Joseph for bookstores. I mean, he's our patron. And I would just ask you to get Father Don Calloway's book. I know your wife was reading that book one time, Jesse, maybe 5-6 months ago. She said to me that she loved it. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely.
Anita read that.
Yeah. And it's funny, I have a prayer before I start my radio shows every day, and I do two a day.
Yep.
Right in front of me, I have a prayer to St. Joseph that I start my radio show before I go on. It's an ancient prayer to St. Joseph. You've probably heard it. It was written in 1505. It says, O St. Joseph, whose protection is so great, so strong, so prompt before the throne of God, I place in thee all my interests and desires. Mm. The beautiful prayer. It apparently was written in 1505. It was sent from the Pope to Emperor Charles when he was going into battle.
Wow.
And the church says that whoever reads this prayer or hears it or keeps it about themselves shall never die a sudden death or be drowned, nor shall poison take effect on them. Neither shall they fall into the hands of the enemy or be burned in any fire or overpowered in battle. And this is also a novena prayer that's supposed to be done for 9 mornings for anything you desire, and it's never been known to fail.
I love it.
I forget. I think it was St. Teresa of Avila or the Little Flower. One of the St. Teresa says...
Of Avila said it. He never failed.
A novena to St. Joseph has never known to fail.
That's right. I'm looking for the little prayer that we pray, you know, a holy death with St. Joseph. It's in my Roman Missal. I might not be able to find it, Jess, but I'll tell you what. It's a powerful prayer, and I think I'm going to get it. Keep going, Jess, and when I find it, I'll let you know.
Yeah, here's something else I want to mention.
Sure.
About you know, we're always talking about the 5 stones and what we have to do.
Yeah.
The 5 things. Let me just talk about how important it is to be reading the Bible every day as Terry's looking for what he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
St. John Chrysostom, a 4th century doctor of the church and Archbishop of Constantinople, again, one of the 38 doctors of the church, he says that one of the things that's necessary for the spiritual life to have a strong defense against Satan is to read the Bible daily. Look what he says here. Quote.
Yep.
The devil, this is St. John Chrysostom, not Jess Romero, the devil will not dare to approach a house where a gospel is lying open. Much less will any evil spirit or any sinful nature ever touch or enter a soul which bears about with it such sentiments as it contains. Sanctify then your soul, sanctify your body by having these ever in your heart. What in your heart? The gospel. And Amen. On your tongue. Having what in your tongue? The gospel.
Amen.
For if foul speech defiles a person and invites devils, it is clear that spiritual reading of the gospel sanctifies and draws down the grace of the Holy Spirit.
That's
St. John Chrysostom.
That's powerful. Jesse, here's a little prayer to St. Joseph about purity. St. Joseph, father and guardian of virgins, to whose faithful keeping Jesus Christ, innocent himself, and Mary, the Virgin of Virgins, were entrusted. I pray and beseech you by the twofold and most precious charge by Jesus and Mary to save me from all uncleanliness, to keep my mind untainted, my heart pure, and my body chaste, and help me always to serve Jesus and Mary in perfect chastity. Amen. Powerful, Jesse. St. Joseph, please pray for us. Yes.
Yes.
Last thing I'm going to ask you, bro, I always ask you this, what state should we be living in? And don't tell me the deep state.
No, negative. Never the deep state. We have to live in a state of grace, live in a state of mortal sin. And remember, life is short, death is for sure, sin is the problem, and Jesus is the cure. And let's keep on working for that degree before our name, ST. Forget about any letters after your name. That won't get you to heaven for a second.
Up next, Bishop Joseph Strickland, a new show we have, the Bishop Strickland Hour. You're going to love it. This man is a power preacher. He's going to give us the teachings of the church, and I don't think you're going to miss it. It'll be right up after us. Father Don Calloway said he's one of the most Orthodox bishops in the world. Don Calloway, quote. Up next, Bishop Joseph Strickland on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, May the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.